here with the Colorado Historical Society project, the Italians of Denver. It's January 26th in the morning, 2004. I'm at the home of Mary DeBell at 4113 Lamar in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. We have filled out the genealogy and family information and taken a few pictures and reminisce a little bit about Mary DeBell's and also about her memories of early years in Denver. With us is her daughter, Virginia. Yeah, what's your earliest memory? You were one of how many children?
One of five.
Five children, mm-hmm. So you had four siblings.
Yeah, I was the only girl. There was four brothers. Dominic, Carmen, Joseph, and Anthony, and myself.
And were you the youngest, the oldest, the middle one?
No, I wasn't. My brother Anthony was the youngest. I was next to him. I'm 4.5 or 5 years older than he. He's 4.5 or 5 years, something.
Do any of your siblings, are they still alive?
My brother is 92, Anthony.
Does he live in the area?
He lives in Welby on the home place.
And where was that home place?
Well, I don't think there was no address at the time. Now it's on York. But then we built a new home, what they called Copeland Ranch. And we bought 24 acres there and improved it. And we raised vegetables.
And Anthony still lives?
At the home. He built the home in 1925.
Well, you had told me earlier that your birthday was 1906. Mm-hmm. So in 1925, you would have been about 19 years old, so you remember that very well, don't you?
Oh, sure.
Tell me first a little bit about the house before that, or the farm before that.
Well, we lived in almost like a little shack, I guess it was. It just was kind of put together. And then, as they accumulated some money, because when we first came from the old country, my mother and my dad, they homesteaded. I guess my uncle had homesteaded this little property that was near the Platte River in Welby. And then they had to clear the ground to raise their vegetables year by year. And then they had this little house. Then in 1913 is when we built the big house. And that's when my dad and his brother, Anthony, and Angelina, it was like a two-party home. You know what I mean?
Like a duplex.
Yeah. There was 14 rooms with the attic, basement, and then six rooms, and then there was three rooms in the attic.
And so William or Bill and his brother Anthony and mm-hmm. their families
mm-hmm.
all lived in on that property in this mm-hmm. house, and they all farmed.
We all farmed in there. We only had about 5 acres at the time. And then, as we made money on this little acreage, we just bought the 24 acres. And, of course, we couldn't pay for it cash, but little by little we got it paid off, and we had to do the same thing with that ground because it was never cultivated, so we had to use that hand work to pull out. There was a railroad coming through there halfway through the property, and it was built up, and that's where they left it. They ran out of money, and they left it just about halfway in the property. So it was all built up with big rocks, and it was about 4 or 5 feet higher than the property, of course. And then we had to tear that all down and carry all this rock out and put it on this long, this little road, just kind of threw the rocks at there.
I'm going to stop the tape now, and we're going to check and see if we're getting a good recording, okay?
Okay.
All right, we've checked the tape, and all seems to be going well. So let's continue with the story. So the family literally had to tear down this preparation for railroad track that never was finished.
Yeah, just ran out of money, and then they just stopped there. And the people we bought it from had homesteaded, oh, I would say about over 200 acres in there. And then he just divided it in partials for as much as a farmer wanted to buy. And we bought 24 acres, and my uncle, which was Dad's brother Anthony, bought 10 across the way. And they built their house maybe about 4 or 5 years later.
After 1925.
Mm-hmm.
But the families were close by, huh?
Oh yeah, we always were close by.
What kind of vegetables did they raise?
Oh, you name it, we had them. We raised them. And when I was just a little girl, I was only about 3 years old, and I could name every vegetable that we raised. I remember my aunt telling me that. And I went with my mother even when I was 4 years old, and she taught me the difference between the seeds of the vegetable that were growing and the weeds.
Yeah.
Taught me how to pull weeds, which were the weeds.
4 years?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then we had, of course, horses and sleds to carry our vegetables. When we harvested them, we used to put everything on this sled and then bring it up to a shed that we had and bunch it up for the market.
So that was a family job, getting them parceled together
for the next day to take to market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which market did they take it to?
It was the city market down on, well, near the Aurora campus. I don't know, down in that area.
Maybe it became DeNarga.
They built the DeNarga market way down here then.
Mm.
The DeNarga market wasn't there.
DeNarga was more, was north of the city market area.
Yeah, that was right off of North Broadway or something, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was more north. But the original was way down
around that area. Spirit Boulevard or down in that triangle like I remember, because I was just a little girl. I think I went once with my dad to the market, but I barely remember that because they went to horse and buggy. And they used to go about 3 o'clock in the morning with a load of vegetables. And then Daddy didn't read or write, but he knew all his money, and he sold all these vegetables by dozens or bunches or whatever people wanted. And stop it for a minute.
All right. You had a memory, a recollection of some special customers who would come to the market?
Well, yeah, it was all the grocery stores down in North Denver. and the grocery stores that were all over, they were all individual stores at that time.
And they would come and buy.
Yeah.
Would people come to buy for their own homes or?
No, hardly.
Okay.
Just all these little grocery stores that come and buy whatever they needed. And then there were some big grocery stores. One big one was the Archer Brothers.
Sure.
Down on 15th Street. I don't know what street it was, but it was on 15th, I remember. Near the Loop Market. Loop Market, and then they used to have a great variety. They even had fruits. You know, they had the whole thing. They had everything. They even had I don't remember if they had a meat market, but I think they did. It wasn't theirs, but it was in this Loop Market because it was like, they had everything in there. Everything. Little delis and stuff like that, bakeries. But it was, they called it the Loop Market, and I don't know, I don't think it was a block square, but it was a big size.
I believe they have some pictures in the old files of that Loop Market.
Yeah, they do.
You mentioned sometimes the nuns would come down.
Yeah, the nuns. Oh, yeah. Well, the nuns would, they'd come down. Even Mother Cabrini.
For the orphanages?
Yeah, well, they used to come down. See, she used to, her nuns were at the St. Clair Orphanage. No, Queen of Heaven. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Queen of Heaven Orphanage. And when she was here, I had a cousin that was at the orphanage, and she met her personally.
Yeah. What an honor.
Yeah. And, but I don't know if she went down the market, but she might have. She went all over. Mount Carmel, she's been at Mount Carmel Church and Mount Carmel when they had their grade schools and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yes, Mother Cabrini was really in the community, wasn't she?
I had a neighbor here, Dan, his folks knew her too. They had never been like him. Mm-hmm.
Now, you told me you were one of five and the sister died right after she came over from Italy.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have known her at all.
But did your brothers all work on the farm?
Oh yeah, they all worked on the, in fact, after we were married, my husband went to work he tried to work just jobs, you know.
Labor
jobs. Wanted to get off of the farm because they did the same thing we did. And it didn't work out, so then my brothers said, come and work with us. We've got 24 acres and, you know, there'd be enough money if we had good seasons for all of us. So then we moved down in our original house where I was born. We moved there and then we stayed there for about 12, 13 years and then we bought our own place in Nevada.
And your husband, who we should introduce on the tape, is John Lewis DeBell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his family came originally from Potenza, but he was born here.
All the family was born here.
And you have showed me a wonderful family tree of that side of the family. He was born April 19th, 1902, and you were married when he was, just before he was 26. Because January 29th, 1928, at Welby Assumption Church.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about your wedding?
Oh, I remember we had all, it was such a beautiful day. It was 70 degrees. And, of course, the groom and the bride, it wasn't like it is now. The groom was over at the house. They went in a different car than we did. But we went in church together and had the ceremony. There was no mass. It was just a ceremony. And most of the invited guests came to the church. We were planning to have a big wedding, but John's aunt died just about a month before, or maybe so. We had our wedding. So them days, they didn't do things like that. They had to wait a year before they would celebrate.
They would be in mourning.
Yeah, be mourning. And they wore blacks and they wore bands on their sleeves and they mourned the whole year. When my grandmas and grandpas died, all my uncles and aunts and mother and daddy and all that, they all wore black clothes for a whole year.
That's something that has really, unfortunately, I think in some ways, gone. I was at a rosary, Italian family rosary recently, and I thought maybe I was at a bowling alley.
Yeah. They just don't wear no... Then they had bands, those black bands we had to buy, all that stuff. And the undertaker would usually furnish that. And then when there'd be a death, they used to bring a big wreath to hang on your door. And it was either purple for old, for like younger people, and then black with some coloring in it for older people. And they'd hang that on the door all the while before the funeral from the death. And they'd pick up the corpse at home and they'd embalm it. Then the body would stay at home till the burial.
No funeral homes.
No, the wake, like. And, you know, they just would take turns staying up with the body, maybe 3 days or so. And, Virginia, I got those photos of Grandpa up there. Mm-hmm. Get them up in that.
Well, we'll take a look.
35 years ago, when my dad died, you were black for over a year.
Yeah.
So here you were, a joyous occasion, but because of the death in his family, it wasn't allowed to be such a big celebration. Did you go on a honeymoon?
Well, I'll tell you about that story. My husband said, "We're going to California." I said, "No, I was afraid to go on a honeymoon." And he said, "I got this friend of mine who's going to give us a car to go." He had his own car, a little coupe. But he said, "My friend will give me this Buick. He says, we can go to California." And I said, "No, I don't want a honeymoon." I said, "I was afraid to go on a honeymoon." Because I had never been away from home. You know, we didn't date till after I was engaged, although I knew him for about 5-6 years before we were married. But always just wherever I'd meet him. If it was at a doings, like it was some kind of a celebration or something.
That's such a different concept now, where people travel constantly and you see people with babies on planes. You hadn't traveled, had you, away from your home?
No, I was never away from home. The furthest I went was on a streetcar to Denver. And we walked from Welby all the way to Riverside Cemetery when we used to go shopping down in Denver, because there were no shopping centers. And we used to dress up like we were gone to a ball to go shopping with high heels and gloves and hats. Oh, how miserable. But anyway.
I even can remember some of those days of wearing gloves and hose when you went shopping.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Riverside. That's one of the oldest cemeteries, and I know there are Italians buried there. Do you have any family buried at Riverside?
I have all my family buried there. My mother and father and aunts and uncles and cousins and relatives, yeah.
It's now a national historical
place,
and they really have fixed it up quite nicely.
Yeah, they have tours now, see, and I've never been able to go because of my age, I haven't been able to go on any of those tours. But there are a lot of noted people buried there. The fellow that brought the first water to Denver and
Governor Evans
maybe, yes. I don't know. But there are, and I think, I'm not sure, but there is somewhere that Baby Doe's, what's his first name? His wife's first name?
Oh, the first, The first wife of Tabor?
Tabor, yeah.
Was it Agatha? Or, I can't remember.
Anyway, that's who's supposed to be buried there.
But all your family is buried there, and I know many immigrants were buried without headstones because they couldn't afford headstones in 1900 or so. They could barely.
See, when my sister died, when we first were here, they just had come when she died. I don't know, maybe
little Angela.
Yeah. She never had a headstone, but my brothers, I never did go, but my brothers looked it up. They went to the
office
of the office, and they showed them where it was. And I don't know why they never put anything on it when they did find out. But it's down in the lower part, right next to the river, they said. It's close to the river.
No grass.
Yeah. And the church bought, I don't know, maybe a square block or more, and the priest blessed that area, and that's a Catholic cemetery there, a Catholic section, and that's where all my relatives are buried. In that
good, that's good to know also where for your future generations and such. Well, we got you married, and we got you not going to California on a honeymoon. Mm. And you said you and your husband spent about 14 years in Welby then working in the family business, right?
Yeah. Well, yes. And then we bought our own place in Arvada on about 51st and Ammons. It used to be Ammons at the time. Now it's a different street. No, it's Ammons now, and it used to be something else. Yeah, it used to be something else. Anyway, they were just First and Second Avenues in Arvada. There were no streets. It was just avenues in Arvada. I remember the boardwalks in Arvada and some of the old places, the old theater and all that stuff.
They're making that, now it's historic. Old Arvada, remember when it was New Arvada, with the same area. Tell me a little bit about church. I know sometimes they say the women went to church and the men didn't.
Yes.
Was that true in your family?
Mm-hmm.
Which church did they attend mostly?
Well, the women went to church when they first come there, but once in a while they'd go to Mount Carmel. But when the church at Welby came, why they went, she went to church there, but mother had gotten so that she never drove and daddy didn't go to church. And so she never went to church hardly. And we walked, us younger ones, we'd walk a whole mile. And I walked from our new place to the church, which was about 2 miles, even in the winter time.
Whoa. Where'd you go to school?
Oh, you got to go to school.
We had a little school by the name of Rankin.
Rankin.
A little white schoolhouse till the fourth grade.
Was it a one-room schoolhouse?
Mm-hmm.
One
had
teacher?
Four grades, uh-huh. With a pot-belly stove. And we'd haul our water from about half a mile away. She'd have two children go down after this water, this private home. And there was only four grades there. And the teacher would drive with a horse and buggy on a Monday and come out, and she'd stay all week, and she'd rent. She'd stay with one of the farmers there.
It was a female teacher?
Yeah, they were all female teachers, yeah. And then we went down to Klein School, which was, they just tore it down. It was just going to be a historical school. But since there was no money to fix it up. And that's where my brothers, because my brothers went to school and they didn't know how to speak English. So they went to school in the little school that Rankin School, and then they And later it was named Sechrist because Sechrist, I don't know, they used to do something. They used to help around with the school, I guess.
Named in there. Well, let's see, Carmine and Domenico came over when they were 4 and 7, so they had to learn English. I mean, as a second
language. They made every grade. They made every grade.
But the another brother was born here, your younger brother, right?
Well, Joseph and Anthony.
Joseph
and
Anthony.
Yeah. Joseph died when he was 21.
That's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did you think you learned the basics in the school?
Oh, yes. I don't know how kids can learn today. I just don't know. I went just to the 8th grade, and I thought we learned so much in 8 years, then they don't, well, of course they didn't like high school, but I mean for the basics of education, you know?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think they trained the mind, you know, to question. And school wasn't meant to be a fun experience. It was a business.
But you know what we did, though, Claire, because when we went in, it was the Pledge of Allegiance and exercise. We did exercise, I remember. Oh, yeah. Just lift our arms up and our legs up like that and put your arms up in the air, you know, like that and down. And we did exercise before we sat down. Deep breathing, yeah. And when we went to the schoolhouse, when we went to school in the morning real early, I didn't even have any boots or anything. Mother just wrapped our feet up with newspapers or sacks that we had. Everything came in sacks them days, plenty sacks, you know. And we went to school, we walked to the little school. The little school must have been about, oh, I would say maybe about 6 blocks, maybe 6-7 blocks, you know, like I would say now. But
did you, I get the feeling that the parents thought the education was important for the kids.
Oh, yes, oh, yeah. They just...
And English.
And we couldn't speak our Italian anymore. Of course, Mother, we had to speak Italian at home because my grandmas and grandpas didn't speak Italian, and neither did Mother. She understood, but she didn't speak it. But Daddy spoke it.
And your grandma and grandpa came over.
Oh, yeah.
Here. Mm-hmm. So they were also living with...
No, they didn't live with us.
They had two, they live?
Just about... maybe about next a half door. A block away from their parents, I mean from their children. This grandma and grandpa lived here and the other lived there. And they'd go there every day and fix their meals. At night, in the winter time, they'd get their wood in, their coal in, bank their stoves, put them to bed, and then the next morning they'd go build a fire for them before they got up so their house wouldn't be so cold.
The older people would do it for the younger people?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
The younger, the...
My mother and dad.
Dad did it for their parents.
My mother did it for her mother and dad. Oh, and Angie used to do it for the other, the other grandma and grandpa, yeah.
So they lived close by, and their children, your parents, made sure they were taken care of.
Oh, yeah, they never...
Morning, noon, and night, huh? Uh-huh.
They did some work, and whatever they needed, it came out of their... you know, their money, and they never had any money of their own, or they just supplied them with all the foods they needed, their coal and their wood and everything they needed.
Do you remember if your grandparents ever talked much about Italy and the old country?
Yeah, they did. They did. But, you know, we weren't interested.
That's the truth, isn't it?
See? You know, we didn't understand what they were saying. I remember Daddy used to always tell us they never had much snow. If they had snow, they had a little skiff where they lived. And he says they'd go out in the wintertime if they had a little plot there, which my dad's folks did because they were rich, considered, in them days. They weren't rich, but they had chickens, and they had a goat, I think, you know, for milk. My mother's folks didn't have anything. My dad had this property, and they had a house, they owned their house, and they had chickens upstairs, you know, in the house. Or maybe they had them downstairs, I don't remember how they said that. But anyway, and my dad, my mother's father, worked. They had a little farm too, but they used to have to go real far for their little acreage, whatever it was, for some vegetables. But Dample worked for some rich people, and they treated him pretty good. And mother was a wet nurse for this rich family.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So when they had a baby and needed a nursing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, mother nursed her children. They were 3-4 years old.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know,
said,
yeah. And even in this country, she was a wet nurse for one of our godparents' little baby. Because they didn't have milk like they do now.
Yeah.
Formulas or right. Have milk delivered every day or fresh milk. You know, no ice for refrigerators or anything like that.
So your mother, Columba,
mm-hmm.
was a good neighbor in that
yeah,
sense,
yeah,
right?
Did she? Yeah.
Yeah, we forget about the things that people had to do to get along when you didn't have instant Safeways.
Yeah, and these people, they lived almost a block away from us, and in the summertime when mother was nursing this baby, either him or her would come down with a parasol
in the field
so my mother could nurse that baby.
She was working.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to have a picture of that?
Oh, yeah.
You had children,
yeah.
you and John.
Yeah.
How many children?
Four. We have four. And three are living.
And do they all live in the three in the Denver area?
No, only Virginia lives here. The others live in California.
Do you have a chance to visit them, or do they come here?
We were there this last April for my daughter's 50th wedding anniversary.
You have a daughter with a 50th. I think
I'm 53. I had a party too 3 years ago. So we celebrated 50 years 3 years ago.
As they say, a glory.
Yeah.
Special.
And to have her at both of those celebrations was special.
Oh yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah, and she's wonderful. And she had a big party, a lot of friends, and I met a lot of her friends again because when I was able to travel, I think that there would, sometimes I'd go twice a year.
Yeah.
But I went there every year. I even went there for their graduation, you know, they graduated high school. Yeah.
Well, you have had a lot of exciting things happen to you. Now, your husband, born in 1902, he wasn't in the military at all,
No.
Because he was in between the...
He had a brother, though, that died from the gas of the World War One.
Is that right?
He came home and he was never well after that. Because they used that gas in the First World War, you know.
You mentioned that he was one of 14 surviving children.
Yeah.
So he had a huge family.
There were five girls and boys.
Mm-hmm.
Did most of that DeBell family from Potenza stay in the Denver area?
They all stayed here.
Uh-huh, they were all.
Every one of them.
That would explain the huge number.
I knew them all.
Oh,
yeah.
I got so many nieces and nephews and cousins that
on
I don't
that
even
side,
know.
Yeah, on the DeBell side.
Yeah.
Have you ever counted them up?
No. It'd be impossible. I sure would like to have a DeBell reunion. And
left.
No, but there would be a lot of cousins, but who would you know him to send it to?
Mm-hmm.
No. A lot of my nieces are gone, and they were 90 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My John's youngest brother was younger than his niece.
Yeah, with a big family.
Well, yeah, his oldest brother.
Daddy's niece was in your wedding party.
Yeah, she was my bridesmaid.
Daddy's niece.
No, my niece.
Well, when with spread out, yeah, you know, it was covered 30 years. It's a generation and a half for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the most striking changes that you've seen in your life?
Oh, man. Oh gee, honey, everything. That I just couldn't begin to mention. We got electricity, telephones,
cars,
airplanes. I'll never forget when the airplanes first flew, and we'd hear that noise, and we'd all run out of the house and see them go by, you know, go by from the airport, you know.
So, and do you remember when electricity first came out to the farm in Weldy?
Well, it was the year Lillian was born. When was she born? That's when we got electricity.
1931? Oh, you had it before then. You had it in your house.
Up the other place, we didn't have it up there. We made our own electricity when we moved up there.
Oh, you did? Well,
we had our own big motor in the basement to make our own generator to make our own electricity up there. Because I did all my washing by hand. Until Lillian was born, then Daddy said we got to get a washer, and so we went and bought a washer, but we had to carry our water from
block
with buckets to wash. You know,
in the 1930s.
Yeah, we take a lot for granted. The cities back east had all those things.
Yeah.
But not out in the country, we forget.
In this generation of mine, I didn't have an indoor toilet until I was a high school graduate at 18.
Yeah, we didn't have our own. We didn't have our own.
What year would that be?
1947.
We forget, don't we?
I'm 75, but still.
I raised those kids. You know, with dirty diapers, you'd have to run them out in a bucket and haul all your water.
Mm-hmm.
That was really work, wasn't it?
Oh, we never, you know, you say people are busy nowadays. Man.
They're not busy now.
They're not busy doing nothing.
Did you have time to, you know, today people talk about the clubs or the organizations.
The only thing we did was visiting. We visited, and mostly on Saturday evenings, and nobody had to call anybody that they were coming over. They would just drop in.
And visit
any time of the day, any time of the evening.
You didn't have to set an appointment to see a family member or friend.
Or even friends. No. No.
How about cooking? Did your family, when you were a girl growing up, was it mostly what we consider Italian fare? Did you eat a lot of the vegetables that you grew?
We ate a lot of our vegetables, Growing up. When we were at home with Mother, we raised our own pigs, and we had mostly pork. But in the summertime, when we go to the market and was in town every day, they would come home with steak, which was shoulder steak, and hamburger, and roast, and some fruit, you know, because the fruit was only around the holidays. They didn't like year-round now. And we'd had that.
Lot of Italian food.
But lots of Italian food. Potatoes, we made our own bread in outside ovens.
Oh, you had your own ovens?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we had our own brick oven.
Talk about them in North Denver, but of course you would have those.
Oh, yeah, we had them. Oh, 14 big loaves of bread like that to last a week, you know, because our main food was bread. You know, you'd have every meal was bread, really.
I wonder what they think of today's low-carb diets.
Oh, yeah. There was no fat people then either, because
they all worked
so hard.
They needed it.
When did the family farming business slow down or shut down? Or?
Well, after Daddy died.
Which was in...
47.
Okay.
Yeah. Then they just start... Everybody was married by that time. And, well, they were all married when we ran the farm together, yeah. But they all got some little jobs out. Part-time jobs. Some of them had full-time jobs. Carmen and Tony and Dominic. Dominic worked down at the Coke ovens down in Denver. Terracotta ovens.
Oh, some time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then gradually they began to get more of the jobs as opposed to the farming as a way of support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a very, very colorful time.
It was. You know, it was a hard time, but it seemed like we were all happy, you know. I don't remember us being unhappy. I don't really, you know.
And yet you didn't have...
We didn't have anything.
You didn't have the things that people think they need today.
And
one more quick question. What when people got sick? Where was she? Did you have a doctor who came?
Oh, no. Doctor came at the house. Mm. I had a cousin that... We had a horse that used to go... We used to sleep out of the barn and he'd go down and get his own water. Come up when he was thirsty, just go down and get. He never was haltered, you know, he was a small horse. And my cousin Nick got kicked in the mouth because he teased the horse with the switch while the horse was eating grass along the side of the road and knocked some of his teeth out, and he was unconscious. Took him in, called the doctor. Well, the doctor had it come from malaria. You know where malaria is at?
I've seen that.
Used to be a malaria pharmacy down in there by, what they call now, where the Annunciation Church is at. What is that? Near the Cudahy Packing House used to be down in there.
Okay.
And the doctor had an office there, and he came. Well, he couldn't come. It rained and it poured, and he had a car, but he got about halfway there and got stuck with the car. Got stuck in the mud, and there was a dairy farm there where he got stuck. He went in there and got their horse and came out on horseback at 9 o'clock at night.
To tend to Nick,
huh? Uh-huh, tend to Nick, and fixed his teeth and mended him up, whatever he did, give him medication, stayed with him, and came every day for I don't know how many days.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of doctors we had. My brother was sick all those years before he died. The doctor used to come about every week or so. Really a good doctor. And mother couldn't speak English. And she'd converse with this doctor. They'd sit like we are now, and she'd have she'd always have some pastels.
Oh, yeah.
And a little glass of wine. He'd sit with her and have some cookies and wine with her and just stay.
Was he Italian?
No.
Oh, so
Dr. Dean. I'll never remember that.
Was he?
Dr. Dean.
Dr. Dean. What?
Edward F. Dean. I'll never forget. And then there was one guy that had a car, this was later in years, that had a little Ford touring car, and everybody used to call him when they'd get sick, and he'd take them down in Denver to the doctors.
Mm-hmm. But most of the babies were born at home, weren't they?
Yeah, most of them, yes.
Yeah, at least in the early days.
Yeah, the early days. Yeah. Virginia was born at home. But my others weren't.
North Denver.
North Denver.
That's when she lived in North Denver.
Yeah, the 2 years.
Yeah, the 2 years.
What street?
Huh?
What street?
Osage.
Osage.
Osage. 37th and Osage.
Yes, it's, and there were a lot of births at home, and then you had to go get a birth certificate for all the government regulations.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't have a birth certificate somehow. Oh. We never could find it. But all my other brothers were baptized at Mount Denver because there was no church at Welby. We found them all, but mine wasn't there. I went to all the churches and there was no birth certificate, so then I had to have one made.
Yeah, issued by documentation. Yeah.
And I had to have a witness of somebody that was 10 years older than I.
Yeah.
And then I was never getting it, called up Golden, and they said, oh, it's been here for 6 months.
they said it.
Yeah.
Well, we've just, a plate of pizzelles has appeared here, and I think we're wrapping up. At this point, there may be some follow-up questions, but I think perhaps we'll turn off the recorder now.
That was all his own.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my, there were a lot of mistakes there.
No, I think we did very well. It's about 11:36 on this sunny but bright morning.
No, it's 10:36
on this sunny, bright morning in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. This is side two of the tape. We've discovered a few things that we don't want to miss on the tape. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your mother and the wine?
My father never drank, but he made wine every year for my mother. And they'd go down to the market and buy grapes, and we'd get some Concord grapes and the white grapes, and we had our own cider press. At first, we didn't have a cider press. Grandpa would scrub his feet and legs and get in this tub that was filled with grapes and mash it. And later on, we got a cider press that ground the grapes and extracted the juice, and Daddy put it in barrels until it fermented, you know, just the right time when to release it from its grind, from the grapes, and pour the juice in barrels, and he'd make wine for Mother, and we just had a glass of wine every day at lunch. My brothers never drank, just Mother and my oldest brother would have a glass of wine with their meal at noon. And whenever we'd get company, it was always some wine and some pizzelles that we made. And they were all made by hand. We didn't have an electric machine. They were all made on a coal range. And what was that other thing we were talking
about? And you mentioned something about a macaroni.
Yeah, we had a macaroni machine which belonged to my sister-in-law's father, which was real quaint. It was put on some big planks, and it was like a cylinder. So we'd make this spaghetti dough and roll it on in rolls and stuff it in this cylinder, and there was a thing at the bottom of it that had a press that would make three different sizes of spaghetti, and you just would press that on the top with some kind of a screwing thing, and the dough would come out, and all you do is fan it. It used to be about 15 or 20 macaroni would come out, and then we put them on a board, a floured board, and then they were ready to cook.
What happened to that machine?
I sold it. When I moved here, it was the garage, and it was just, we had it all those years.
It was about this tall. It was big. It took a lot of
handle. Couldn't handle it.
Big, big, heavy thing.
So bigger than a big washing tub, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. You sold it, and yeah. Who knows where it is?
Well, I sold it to an antique lady, so mm-hmm. I don't know what she
probably is in display in a museum someplace.
Probably she's still got it. People don't know what it is. And it had copper plates. It had to be some kind of spaghetti, but we just made the regular spaghetti, the long spaghetti. We cut it, and it was about a foot long, because then they'd stick. Mm-hmm. We used to fan them when they'd come out, so they would stick together, and then just lay them on this flowered table board. Mm-hmm.
That was a day's work.
Oh, yeah. And every Sunday we did that. Every Sunday we'd have that kind of spaghetti. And there was years that I never bought any spaghetti in the wintertime. I made all my own.
Yeah.
We had our own chickens, and I'd have the eggs, and we rolled them on a rolling pin, a great big long pin, which was a mop stick. So we'd make this great big pie. Oh, I tell you, it was about that big. Roll it out real thin. And then let it dry, turn it from one side to the other, and let it kind of dry so it wouldn't all stick together. And then you'd make different types of spaghetti, whatever kind you wanted, the straight ones or little short ones. We used to make little squares, we used to call them little slippers. And they were squares, and you'd fold them over diagonally, and they were like little slippers. And those were really a treat for all of us. And I remember
how the about fillets on the wires?
Yeah, the one. Oh yes, I used
what to, are those?
The wire. We had wires, you know, like a wire
coat hanger.
That's as big as a coat hanger, maybe a little bit bigger wire. And then I make little strips of dough, and make. We had holes in them. See, you'd roll that little dough on them, and they'd be about 5-6 inches long. And we used to count to eight because they were made with the wire.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm glad we got that on tape, Mary. And thank you so much for sharing your memories.
Uh-huh. Yeah.